Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what makes it different? They ain't never seen this cam. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen them. The forgotten cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Some people think the Braves are left to die after last night's injury to Mike Soroka. I don't necessarily feel that way. I do think it's a challenge, though, when you've only got one reliable arm in the starting rotation that you can count on, and that's Max Fried now. We've been talking about it a lot today with you guys and what AA, that's Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager, had to say. More on that coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day. But the Braves, you know, Mike, no time to feel sorry for yourself. And I know that you know, everybody's feeling terrible for Mike Soroka, but you turn back around today, you got a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got games.
And we've talked about, look, is it a curse? No. I mean, that's why we started the show, because I've seen so much of that on social media. I saw it as soon as things happened last night. Oh, it's a curse. No, you started the season with 2.5 starters, okay? We didn't know what Folty was going to be, and unfortunately, neither did Folty. You know, you knew what you had with Soroka and Fried. It's a freak injury. You know, I say freak, but it's not a one in a gazillion. We've seen guys do this before. It's just when you don't have any other pitching now, yes, the younger guys have to step up, you know? And now it's a 3-4 Blue Jays team coming to town. They just finally got a place to play for themselves in Buffalo. But they got all those young hitters. You know, they got everybody's – remember the team? They got everybody's kids. You got Bichette, Biggio's kid, Guerrero's kid. So, you know they can swing the bat. So Max Fried hopefully will handle his water and take care of his business tonight.
All right, more on the Braves coming up. 404-741-0929. You can always hit us up on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And as usual, guys, we come your way live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Hey, coming up, we were going to get a chance to talk to Darren Eales today, but we'll push that back till tomorrow. So I want to let people know, because normally he comes on Tuesdays with us. Right. He was set to join us. He is going to join us tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Does that mean he's making a deal?
It might be. You know how this works with Darren. I'm not doing anything, lads. And then the next thing you know, he's breaking
news.
No, I
mean, it's no joke. It's no disrespect to Darren, but he totally cons us every time we have, no, lads, nothing to talk about, nothing happening. And then, boom, you're right, it goes down. So we'll see. But, Darren, and by the way, I like Stephen Glass. I know that there's a number of names that are linked to United as far as the permanent new manager, but we'll try to get it out of Darren tomorrow.
All right, man, more to come here on the show. Right now, let's talk some dogs. Diggy Dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
As always, our college football report brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com. If you're looking for the ultimate man cave, maybe you're moving out to the burbs and you need something. These are the dudes, man. Get set up. Go to BrightboxElectrical.com. Also, backup generators with all the storms that we had yesterday. Make sure you always got juice. Go to BrightboxElectrical.com.
Are you going to hook it up like that?
Dude, if I don't get this house, I swear to God, someone's going to... I mean, I don't lose, Carl.
I've heard.
I don't like losing these bids. Anyway, more on that in Guy Talk Part 2. By the way, I didn't mention it. We also have some job openings, real job openings, guys, with a great company here in town. I'll tell you about that coming up at 5:40. Meanwhile, Kirby was brought here to win a championship, Carl.
Yes, he was.
Can he do it this year? I mean, everybody's got a theory on how it's going to work or it's not going to work. But you and I were trying to make some sense out of what the the SEC folks are saying. I like the 10 games. I wish they could have played another, let's be honest, have another out-of-conference game so we don't lose the Georgia Tech game. But other conferences now decided what their seasons are going to look like.
Yeah, and I find it interesting because the Big 12 presidents and chancellors approved a scheduling model for the upcoming season. So it's 9 conference games and 1 non-conference game, the league confirmed, yesterday evening. And you know, when this came down, a lot of people were saying, okay, so you got the ACC, they're going to play 10 plus 1, SEC is going to play 10 conference games, and they're not going to do a plus one. So the Big 12 thinks that this helps them and certainly achieves their goals. And really, this is what I think it was the Pac-12 commissioner said maybe a week or two ago, Mike, when he said, we are intertwined, but we are not connected, that we can't make our own decisions based on what's best for our conference. And I thought that was interesting because we've seen that. Literally every conference has kind of done their own thing. But at the end of the day, are you going to debate a Big 12 conference champion after playing, you know, nine conference games and one non-conference game and then winning a Big 12 championship? No. Are you going to debate an ACC champion that's playing 11 games? No. So I think at the end of the day, this all works out. We're not getting as many games as we normally would with the non-conference stuff, but I still think it's going to work out where at the end of the year, we'll know who the best four teams are. Now, there'll be a debate. Maybe five and six are close. Maybe they both have one loss. Maybe we've got, you know, four teams undefeated. Who knows? But I still think we'll be able to know who the best teams were. And the debate for me was the strength of schedule based on how these conferences were going to schedule. Were they all going to play the same amount of games? Were they all going to do it in a very similar fashion? And they have, but they've done it in their own way.
I thought we'd see a little more cooperation, or at least they certainly gave the opinions, as we mentioned earlier, about the ACC not really being on the same page with the SEC. I know only four SEC teams out, as we said earlier, have to play those those cross conference rivals like the Tech Georgia game. But it's just kind of a drag that that everybody's not on the same page. I guess what's the logic behind Big 12? I mean, they're playing everybody anyway in their conference. Pac-12, I could understand those guys, Carl. They got to go as far from like Seattle all the way to Arizona or to Colorado, because that's such a big swath of territory that they cover.
Yeah, I think that also is a big reason why, when you talk about how this turned out for the Big 12. And the big thing is, too, I mean, whether you respect the Big 12 or not, I've said this. These five conferences, they all need each other. You couldn't have the Big 12, in essence, opt out and say, well, we're not going to play this year. If they're all committed to playing, and they're all committed to trying to find, a way to get to this conference champion or the college football championship. How do we do that? What's the best way to do that? And so this model gives the Big 12 flexibility to move back their Big 12 championship game to either December 12th or December 19th. Now you say, well, why is that important to the SEC? Well, I think the scheduling flexibility in all of these conferences has given them an out, Mike. God forbid there is a breakout with coronavirus. Okay, we got to push the schedule back a week. There are a couple of weeks already in these schedules, that give most of these conferences the flexibility. And by the way, the Big 12 SEC championship has been pushed back. Normally, it's the first weekend in December. They pushed that back a few weeks. It's going to be right before Christmas weekend, I think, the 19th or so.
Right, and I know we've heard the arguments that it just won't work, and we talked about yesterday, if you missed yesterday's show, the teleconference or the conference call that the Washington Post got access to, where you have player reps, student athletes talking with the reps of the SEC and so-called experts about how this is going to fly. And I get it. I mean, it's gonna really require a lot of discipline. I don't know. I really do, Carl. I think you got to have some kind of a bubble. We've talked about how you can't afford all that. But you just hope. Now, you really are. You're basically all the SEC and these other conferences' plans seem to be just fingers crossed, that it just doesn't spike. And that's not really a plan, is it?
No, it's lots of luck. All these sports in the fall are going to need luck. You need people to be smart, but you also need some luck to go your way. And so, when you think about this, the Big 12 joined the ACC as the only leagues to keep one non-conference game. And then they did not, publish the schedule, but, you talk about the changes across the board. So West Virginia, Florida State, Baylor, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, LSU, all those games have been lost for the season. Those were huge games, obviously, for the conference. And so that's why I think they wanted to add that one non-conference game to kind of give some bolster to, where are you going to get the non-conference game, though, Mike? And here today, and Bo, by the way, can you check on this for me? The Board of Governors was supposed to meet today, and I know they did, but I don't know if they've actually come out with a decision on whether or not, Division II and Division III schools are going to be playing, because that's a big part of this. You can go get a non-conference game, but who are you playing?
Right. So now, for Georgia, just got to go take care of business. The rumors, everybody, and again, Bo will join us coming up with a yeah man, no man, but the rumors that we were talking about off the air continue to be what, Arkansas and Old Miss or Miss State? Either way, you get a chance to, I think it's Miss State, you would love to see those two games before, Carl, they take on Alabama, because that's going to be for all the marbles. Let me ask you this. Let me throw a hypothetical at you. With all the things we just talked about, could you have a two-loss SEC team in there? Here's the rub. Everyone's sick of the SEC. Yeah, everybody's down on them. Yada yada yada. No one in the country understands defense. That's what it is. Everyone knows it's all dial-a-score score. They don't realize how good defense is. Even though we've seen Clemson put a ton of points up against Bama and LSU, I just think, you know, as a fan, I think seriously, man, this is a conference that if you had any other team, you put Oklahoma in there. Right, take your elite schools, you know, even Ohio State, put them in a stretch of seven SEC games in a row. Get the blank out of here. You're going to have at least two losses. So, I believe that. Every conference, Carl, has its weak sisters, etc. But would you buy that, or am I being too much of a homer for the SEC?
No, I don't know if it's being a homer. I mean, listen, we watch and pay attention to the SEC and the ACC more than anything else. I watch as much as I can when it comes to Ohio State and you know the other conferences. I love staying up late, Mike, on a Saturday night and watching Pac-12 games because, you know, you've been watching football all day. But I'll say this. I do believe if you put the elite schools of each conference in the SEC,
it would still be. Damn. All right, Carl's going to – we're going to re-hit the digital line back there at his house and get him back on here. But, no, just to finish the thought, we're just talking about, you know, I get it. Yeah, we do pat our chest – you know, SEC, we're waiting for more teams in the ACC. We spoke about it yesterday to kind of up their game. Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State's obviously in a different set. They're transitioning. A lot of guys are high on what Mac Brown's going to do with Carolina, but no one's unseating Clemson this year. Even with Notre Dame coming in, Clemson still smokes Notre Dame in the last couple of times they've played. But, you know, getting back to my original thought, unless you feel because for TV purposes and keeping everybody around the country engaged in whatever a college football playoff would look like, that they'd never go back to having two SEC teams back in there. Well, that's easier said than done. Who's going to be the dominant team out west? You know, I mean, I know that some people feel last year the Pac-12 kind of cannibalized itself. They were out of the mix before it was even like, you know, early October with all the teams losing to other teams. I just don't know. I guess the point I'm getting to, if Georgia did lose, heaven forbid, to Alabama early, you know, you may just have Carl rematch, just like we've seen in years past. You know, it would just be a rematch in the SEC championship game, which, I mean, I don't know. I just feel Ohio State, who are the teams you count on up in the Big Ten this year? It's Wisconsin and it's Ohio State. I'll believe when Harbaugh puts it together when I see it at Michigan.
Yeah, that's fair. Penn State, I don't know how good they're going
to be. No, I discount Penn State will be in that mix as well. But Franklin's got to be able to handle his business late in games. He's had one conference championship, but he should have a few more.
Yeah, I don't think, getting back to your original question, I don't think we're going to see two SEC teams this year. You're talking about, because one, you said one would have two losses? Is that what you
Potentially, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm the way kind of LSU backdoored it a couple of years back.
Well, I think now, and this is probably why the Big 12 and the ACC did what they did, Mike, it's going to be hard to say these schools in the ACC played 11 games and you got a one-loss ACC team and you're going to put a two-loss SEC team in. Mm-hmm. Or for that matter, even if you have, and it depends on who the non-conference schedule is for the Big 12, but you're going to play 9 plus one non-conference and then a conference championship game. That's going to be hard to say that team's not deserving over a two-loss SEC team. That's the advantage of adding that plus one, which is what I thought the SEC would do, but I guess they feel like they don't need it.
And for those who don't remember, that was the year it was a Les Miles team. It was one of Saban's, you know, recruiting teams, but they lost that game in Kentucky, the triple overtime game, and they lost in a dial-a-score game to Arkansas, and they beat Ohio State in the Superdome. And remember, they beat Tennessee that year in the SEC, but that was a two-loss. This year, just because the only reason I bring it up is things are so muddled, you know, I mean, and because you just believe the SEC is from, you know, the top team to the 14th team, it's just better than the other conferences. Is it possible?
Hey, man, coming up, where do we go? What do we turn to? What are the options? Do we have any options? It's coming up. It is a Tuesday here on Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up, we got the Falcon Report. Also, what did Calvin Ridley have to say today? And AJ Terrell, guys, we haven't heard a lot from AJ. He came on the show right after the draft. And as we said, local kid, went to Clemson, played a lot there. But Mike, high expectations. There's no doubt about it when you talk about our corners. And so he spoke to the media today. We'll give you the lowdown on what those guys had to say here coming up at 5 o'clock as part of our Falcon Report. Yeah, man, no man is on the way as well. Hey, we've been spending a lot of time today, and rightfully so, on where the Braves go, what's next for our Braves when it comes to Mike Soroka. And for Soroka, you know, here's a kid that you look at his numbers, and last year, sixth in the Cy Young voting. He's only 22 years old, and the future is still bright, guys. He will come back from this injury. I'm just glad, Mike, it wasn't his arm, his shoulder, you know. Let's be honest. I mean, the legs are still a big part of pitching, but the thing that's going to get him paid and the thing that's going to win a lot of games for him is still intact, and it's not been injured. But he's got to spend a lot of time rehabbing and getting his legs strong, and we know that coming back from this Achilles. You said you spoke to a guy 9 to 12 months potentially?
Yeah, it's our buddy Dr. Tim Gaddis, who's an orthopedist, and he was
saying,
what up,
Tim?
I mean, that's you know, that's on the positive side. Again, some guys do respond differently. You know, I think, was it Adrian Peterson years ago came back, and everyone's like, wow, look at that. So, you know, people do respond differently, but it's you know, it's your push-off foot and leg for him. Remember, he's right-handed, so he's pushing off, you know, not to say that he's going to, you know, be putting so much torque on there, but it's still, you know, part of it. I don't know if there was an existing issue where he was struggling with it. Remember, he fell off. If the guys remember what I'm talking about, he fell off the mound awkwardly the other day in his previous start, and there was some concern there. So I don't know if it, some guys are saying, is did he hurt it there? I don't know, but it's certainly something we don't expect to see. I mean, I don't remember seeing that anytime soon. But, you know, unfortunately, the Braves now just got to, they got to do what they got to do. And Alex, there's no, you know, magical fix here, because everybody, Carl, is going to be alive in the playoff hunt. You know, half of Major League Baseball gets in the playoffs this year. So eventually somebody will do a fire sale. Right. And if I was a team that's pretty crap, I'd do it now anyway. You know, you got any fans to worry about. But Carl, in the meantime, they got to make do with the guys that they've accumulated. And now it's, these, you know, it's time for these cats to shine. Show me what you got.
Show me what you got, Bryce Wilson. Let me tell you what Bryce Wilson is right now. 7 ERA in 9 games, 7 starts the past 2 seasons. That's what he is. That's not trustable material. Ian Anderson, number one prospect for those who don't know, but 5 starts above double A. And by the way, his ERA in the 5 starts in Gwinnett last year, almost a 7 ERA, 6.57. That's not respectable and trustworthy. So when you talk about, you know, Tucker Davidson, Mike, he had a great spring. People don't remember because coronavirus hit and we weren't even paying attention. But here's a kid that had 5 relief appearances and had a 1.42 ERA, and they went, okay, he's got some promise. But you're going to throw him in the starting rotation? So these are the decisions that are in front of Brian Snicker and his staff, as far as there are some capable arms. How much do we trust them to just go, you know what, Ian Anderson, you're our number one prospect. You got to learn on the job. It's time. You got to get out there, and we're going to throw you into the fire.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked to Smoltz, we talked to Tom Glavine, and you know, Tom says it all the time. Smoltz says it. You know, they learn to pitch. They learn to pitch by doing it at the major league level. So let's, either you got it or you don't. Tommy went 7-17 on a bad Braves team in 88. He's 22. You know, goes 14-8 the next year. He's age 23. I mean, but then how else are you going to learn how to do it? And I know that, yes, unless you are a bonus, like bonus babies, for those who know what that means, they're coming out of high school and they're going to take longer to develop because they got to come up through the system. But some of these pitchers come up through college now. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm as impatient, Carl, and we got totally spoiled because the Braves had, you know, a generation of pitchers that are just unbelievable that nobody could match. But I'll give you another example. Steve Avery, he was 21 years of age in 1991 when he went 18-8. I just think you ready? You got it? And I know I'm going back. You cannot compare anybody to what the Glavins and the Smoltzes and Averys before he, you know, got hurt, and then later on Maddox. But other teams, you know, you're seeing this. I mean, well, I'm sick and tired. All I've heard about is pitching. Yes, I know we went and we got Pasha and Waters, and they drafted other players, position players like Contreras and Langoliers. But come on, dude. My God, Carl, every other time we talk baseball, it was a pitcher getting picked up by this franchise. So let's see what you got. Otherwise, go get some new guys. Maybe next year you'll spend on starting pitching for once.
All right, what do you guys think, by the way?
I mean, by the way, they spent on Coles, but I mean the right guys, not Cole Hamels, but you know what I mean, the right guys.
Well, Cole, we haven't been able to evaluate him, so that's the problem. I mean, again, I can't evaluate hurt guys. I don't know how good or bad he's going to be, and I don't know when I'm going to see him. So that's not a bad take. You're right. I think the intent was there, but sometimes the intent is just, it doesn't work out. So 404-741-0929, that is the phone number. It is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as we talk about the Braves. Here's what I think you have to ask yourself as a Braves fan. Were we a top 16 team without Mike Soroka? Do you feel like we're one of the top 16 teams without Mike Soroka? If the answer is yes, then that means the Braves are still a playoff team, and then we will get into the playoffs and see where this thing goes. The problem in the playoffs is it's still about pitching. So even if you're telling me we can maneuver a short season and get into the playoffs, which I think is very doable, then that's one question answered. The bigger question is your World Series aspirations. We are not, and I'm sorry. I take it for what it is. You can be mad at me. I'm just telling you from my experience. We're not a World Series winning team with having one arm that you can really trust and free. I'm sorry.
No, so, as I said to start the show, we started the season with 2.5 starters. And, it's a shot at Folty. It is what it is. And then guess what? He lived down to the expectations. So hopefully Folty can regroup, get a proper meal, get something that sticks to your ribs, and maybe get some of your velocity back and get back.
You act like the guy's being starved or something. What are you talking about? Come on. What are you talking about? You're going to eat that cornbread.
Oh, man. Folty looked like he came out of a hot box on Bridge in the River Kwai. Okay? Looked like... No, I'm just saying, man. And for those who don't know, that'd be like a place where you'd lose weight because you're not getting food because you're in solitary. But anyway, maybe he can come on back and get it together. I don't know. We need King Felix to get opt back in. This is one of those things. You know, we argued about, what's going to matter about the fifth starter? Well, crap, now we don't really have a solid two. You said it. Tukey, Kyle Wright, Sean Newcomb, they all put too many guys on base. We are able to win those games, and the bullpen, certainly did a good job. Tukey and Kyle Wright, maybe they get confidence call from pitching out of those jams, but as we said, there's nobody else coming over the hill. The cavalry's not coming to the rescue because there ain't no guys.
Yeah.
Ian Anderson, you said it, Bryce Wilson, all these guys we've heard about, move it.
Well, and they've gotten some chances, just not enough chances. And Ian Anderson, as I said, he hadn't even been in the bigs, really. He hadn't been thrown into the fire. Five starts at Double-A, above Double-A with Gwinnett. That's not enough for me. 404-741-0929. Coming up, I'll tell you some guys that they could trade for. But I want to tell you, Braves fans, again, don't wish for things, and then when it happens, you go, what do we do? Because if you're going to trade for one of these young pitchers and these up-and-coming guys that have already kind of gotten the flow and proven themselves, like our young pitchers, you're going to have to give up some studs in return. I just don't know if I want to do that in a short season, Mike. I'd rather roll the dice, okay? And Braves fans, be mad. I'd rather roll the dice than give up an Austin Riley or other potential prospects that I know are going to help my club, Pache, down the road, just to fill the void of Soroka this season and go, and then that guy's gone. I don't want to do that. And so I don't think Alex Anthopoulos wants to do that, So I think that's a big part of this conversation, Mike, is do I just roll the dice, trust these guys, and more importantly, you rely more on my bullpen and let's see what we can do? Or am I willing to give up guys that I know are going to be a big part of my future for a short season that, again, I know I'm getting Soroka back, but yet I'm giving up big pieces in my lineup down the road. I don't want to do that.
Right, and the other aspect of this, I was blown away today. Not everybody. It's not like it's speaking for Brave Nation, but there was a couple of guys that said, well, this season doesn't matter anyway.
That's not true. That's not true.
Why are these guys risking their health and going out there and doing the job? I mean, that's a loser mentality. Let's get this season is a testament to your organization, how well you can adapt. Right now, no one's got a bigger curveball to deal with than what the Braves just got thrown. Yes, the rich get richer. The Yankees, everybody else can buy their way to one. Well, why can't the Braves spend when it's nut cutting time? We went and got Dallas Keuchel. Granted, we didn't really get the bang for the buck on Keuchel, especially in the playoffs. But they can do that. But we've got to get to that position first. Or do you think there'll be a situation, Carl, where, if the Braves are kind of middling, maybe just a few games over .500, that they say, it is, to your point, it's just not worth it this year to give up one of the prize jewels.
Yeah.
You guys know who the prospects are. They're not going to let go.
I do think it's not worth it. And that may be selfish, and that may be, what are you doing? I want to win now, and I do too. But I also know I have a 22-year-old pitcher and, two pitchers, actually, that are under the age of 25, and Fried and Soroka, that are going to be at the top of my lineup for a long time to come. We're hoping to add to that, whether it's through free agency or the development of a guy like Ian, Anderson or whatever. But, Mike, I'm not willing to deplenish or deplete my lineup down the road, right, knowing that we've been grooming a guy like Pache, and now I'm just going to trade him for a short season, and whoever's going to come in here is probably going to be gone because we're renting a player. Because unless you've got control, unless they're under team control for the next few years, you're wasting your time.
Hey, let me throw one thing at you. It's kind of a moot point now, but what do you make of – this, and we always joke around about how ridiculous spring training is, and you really need pitchers and catchers there an extra 2 weeks. Verlander's gone for the season. You're just starting to see Jake Arrieta. Kershaw finally makes his debut. You know, we've seen so many guys, and now a young guy in his prime, a 22-year-old Soroka. Do you think this had something to do with it? That even though they had to do this rush job on them, and we even said that seemed like it was too long for spring. You think that has something to do with these guys all getting jammed up?
I mean, listen, we all
Syndergaard was doing his own thing before he got hurt. The Mets, they lost him for the season too.
We all have theories. I respect the time at spring training more than others because I do know guys have a point that they need to get to before the season starts, especially pitchers. I've said this. Spring training is about hitting. It's about pitchers getting themselves ready to be able to do what they need to do. And, Mike, I don't know if some of these guys didn't get stretched out long enough or not. Who knows? Right. It's a great theory.
Well, right, Squidbilly's full of theories. Some of them good. We'll see what Squidbilly's got coming up next. It's a little yeah man, no man, and more guys tapping out, Carl, in the NFL. We'll tell you about that in the Falcon Report.
It's time for yeah man, no man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. The executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more.
All right, Bo, let's get to it. It's Yeah Man, No Man. Falcon Report's on the way, and I think we have 2,000-yard receivers this year. We'll tell you more about that coming up. What's going on, Bo?
Just another day in paradise, as my friend Mike Bell would say, although I'm not house hunting like he is. I'm just sitting in a house that I hunted for 6 months, Mike.
6 months? Don't tell me that. 6 months? It took you that long to find that house?
Yeah, we had a house. We had a house we were in an agreement in. That kind of fell apart. We were still selling our condo. Oh, yeah. House hunting. We actually sold our condo before we actually bought and moved in our house, so... That was good that I had relatives. Yeah, it's not fun. I mean, happy hunting.
I told you, Carl. I told you what I told the realtor. I don't lose. I win. How long? By the way, you mentioned this earlier. When you moved here from Houston, how long were you looking?
2 months before we found what I wanted.
2 months?
Yep. But I was looking every day. There was no days off because we had started the radio station. So I was able to do that. Right. But yeah, so August, September, October, we moved in. Okay. We moved in November 1st, the first weekend of November. So yeah.
Well, not to give you all the real estate mumbo jumbo, but Squid can tell you it's a seller's market right now.
No doubt. Which means you can
What's the damn question?
Good point. Yes, go ahead, Bo.
No, Mike,
will Mike and his wife get divorced, right, while we look for the house? That's the question, Craig. Let's go back to you, Squid. Sorry.
We started looking in July when we moved, and we moved in second week in January, just so you know. Oof. It's not fun. All right. Jeez. Speaking of looking at things, Marlins players might have been looking at things when they were in Atlanta, but Derek Jeter claims that's not the case.
In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. The guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other. They got relaxed and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive, and the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. And that's been addressed.
The king speaks.
Derek Jeter said it, so it's got to be true, Carl. They weren't in no strip clubs.
All right.
They got too comfortable. I believe Derek Jeter. Shut up, everybody. Don't pick on him.
What are you thinking about this, Bo? What are you asking us?
So, I ask you guys, yeah, man, no, man, how can people who have all tested negative for a disease get too comfortable with each other and pass the virus to each other? That's what Derek Jeter just said. He said guys got too comfortable with each other. How's that possible?
Well, listen, I think he is, first of all, defending his team because they're taking a lot of heat, and rightfully so.
Bad guys in baseball.
Yeah. So I think that's number one. But as far as the explanation, listen, you could take that for what it is. For what it is, I don't know if you believe it or not. I just think Jeter's laying out an explanation that sounds reasonable. Being too comfortable, meaning they were laxed in their approach to how they were dealing with this, meaning no mask, clowning around, high-fiving, doing whatever, you know, playing grab blank. Who knows? So that's what I think he means.
He's a biracial angel.
He is. He's unbelievable. Yeah, but like we talked about, like things like spinning and sunflowers, all that stuff is like second nature for ball players. You're asking these guys, and some of these guys, we said are mental midgets too. I'm sorry, I'll stick with that narrative, but I don't buy it. I don't know, man. There's some broadcast journalists and writers that were running with the Magic City story as if it was gospel, so I'm going to call shenanigans on that.
Well, speaking of Magic City, one NBA analyst says, he's not big on the wings there.
Y'all need to get off Lou Will.
No, I'm not getting off him because I'm the only thing I said it in break.
The man,
hey, he tried to fool everybody he was going there for the wings.
No, first of all.
He went in right there for the legs and the thighs.
I'm with him on that.
So is it refreshing that finally someone is honest about that the wings aren't the only reason they go to Magic City?
Well, the wings are good. Who was it? Kirshner wrote the article in the AJC, I think, whoever was in the Athletic that it was covering them. Yippee-ki-yay. Look, you know, everybody knows there's good food at all strip clubs, okay? I mean, like we talked about it, Carl, the Cheetah, there's some good food there, man, because it caters to guys that are going to burn through thousands of dollars for nothing. So, yeah, they're going to have some decent food there.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, when people heard this around the country, they laughed because, again, the culture that is here in Atlanta and maybe in Miami and Houston and other cities where the strip clubs are better, so much better than other places. When you hear he went to a place like that for wings, you kind of laugh. But the reality is that it's all of it's good.
That's a great line by Kenny. That's gold, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a very educational experience for Chris Kirshner in more than one way, not just talking about the wings.
Well, he had to go there for work. I mean, don't bang on him too hard.
Going in on writers today, sports fans.
Well, you know, I have to see them on Twitter all the time with their little commentary, so I'm gonna give mine on them. You know what? I've went to the Cheetah for work many times. Mike, remember when we used to do shows at the Cheetah?
I remember that. Yeah, well, I can tell that story quick, Carl, that when I first moved over here to 92.9 and we had the meeting and the sales rep was like screwing up the meeting, who's no longer with us. Remember I called you on that one?
Oh yeah.
And then the manager of the Cheetah's looking at me like, oh, yeah, we could have had that fun. We could have had that fun. March Madness at the Cheetah. It was a good time back in the day.
March Madness at the Cheetah. Don't forget Christmas at the Cheetah as well.
Oh, yeah, we did that too. Carl, before Virginia screwed things up.
Shame on you. Shame on you guys.
Carl, it was the only
Christmas
place.
Christmas at the Cheetah?
Yes. Oh, we did gifts. We did an ugly
You guys are terrible.
We had the ugly sweater contest. It used to be the only place before Virginia gacked it, and of course they went back to win the title. It was the only place, Carl, that a 16 seed could beat a 1 seed in our tournament.
Well, Carl, they forgot to tell you the ugly sweater contest was in body paint, though, so it's a little different.
Yeah, a little bit. In the office one. No doubt. All right, man. Bo, what else you got working?
Only for the models, Craig. Only for the models. All right. So everybody on this show, morning radio, I know Mike did it when he first got to Atlanta for a while at some point in time. Carl, I think you might have done it in your past. I know personally I did it here with the morning show with John and Hugh and then the shows that were before that. Mike Golic had to say this about his years, 22 years of doing mornings at ESPN.
Well, that's gone, absolutely. And I was very proud of myself because, again, this start has really been 22 at ESPN and 3 out in Arizona where it was morning radio out there. So basically, my alarm has gone off at 4:50 or 4:30 for 25 years, and I've only had to set one alarm, and I've never overslept and missed the start of a show. So I was always pretty proud of that, but that's the first thing I did, Shefty, is I got rid of the alarm clock.
Well,
now I would agree with that. Good. I mean, like, I got no problem with Golic. I'd do the same thing. I mean, it's a lot of getting up early.
Yeah,
this isn't about Golic. I've got to ask you guys a question. Yeah, man, no, man, you've ever missed the start of a show?
Yes.
Did in the morning?
Yes. Yes. It was a hard lesson when I first started. And listen, I tell people this all the time. Anybody can get up at 4 a.m.
What was your name?
For a few days. Yeah. But when you do it for weeks at a time, and then it starts to wear on you, it becomes a grind. And so, no, I was like, yeah, I was so excited to be a part of it. Like, oh, as a kid in this business, and I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And the first week was easy, and the second week was easy. And that by that third week, dude, I think the alarm went off. And I was like, I don't want to do this, and I was late. So yeah, I can't speak to that. Not ever being late. And then there's always some weirdness. I hit a deer one time going in. Oh. You know, so I didn't. I mean, there's always something, but no, I didn't make every show on time. But I commend Golic. Yeah,
I came back from a Dolphins game on a Monday night one time, and
Cindy was her name.
I was going to say it had to be a lady involved.
No,
I was working in Fort Myers, and I tracked because I was doing mornings down there, and my morning partner. We basically pre-recorded the entire first. I pulled a Zinno basically. I did the first hour of the show. So my boss calls me. Are you coming in? Why am I hearing your voice and you're not here in the studio? Because we knew it was going to be an all-nighter for the next Tuesday morning. But that's the closest. I've been good. I'm probably dysfunction, Carl. I'm always there on time.
Yeah, yeah. I pride myself on it. But, yeah, as a youngster doing morning shows, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think management listens to this segment. So, no, I've never missed a morning show start. All right, real quick. Kirk had a snide little comment, and I find it rather funny. Craig?
I do like being right. Ask my ex-husband.
Happens every time. There's a reason it's ex, huh?
Who said that?
It's Doris Burke going on.
Oh, yes, nice.
I'm always right. I like being right.
Nice, Doris.
I gotta admit, Doris Burke has really grown on me. I really enjoy watching her do games.
She's good, man.
Over the years.
She's honestly the bubble has been fun, but I mean, again, you're not watching for the broadcasters. They either enhance the game or they take something away. Doris is good. She does a really good job with it, man. I give her credit too.
All right, guys. As always, we're brought to the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjet.com to learn more. Craig, hit the music.
Coming up, Falcon Reports on the way. Calvin Ridley spoke. AJ Terrell spoke. Also, Dante Fowler. You heard him earlier on the station. We'll get into all of that. And, Mike, you said something about some other NFL players we got to talk about?
Yeah, man. Linemen. They're the guys that are high risk with COVID-19. They're tapping out. They're opting out. Be respectful. They're opting out, Carl. We'll give you the details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.